G'day punters and welcome to Winning Post's preview podcast for the weekend of Saturday, July 21. I'm John Barker. Joining me as usual, Joel Marshall. Well, Joel, there's probably have to say it's not one of the bigger weekends on the calendar. There's only three listed races around the country. There is, however, at Flemington, there's the Rising Stars final, and there's also possibly the hardest Saturday Melbourne race for the punter that has ever been concocted. And that, I speak of race four, the Flemington Event Staff Handicap of Benchmark 78, 1200 metres with 20 to face the starter down the straight.
Yeah, well, it's certainly a tough ask. Are there any, I don't think there's any early scratchings yet, but Eduardo, I think, opened up favourite. Pretty short, too. He's looked smart. He's in my numbers, but obviously still needs a run. You'd think there'd be a scratching among the 20 of them. Yeah, as you said, bit of a ho-hum sort of weekend of action. I guess the two-year-old's getting to 1,800 there at Flemington. Bit of an interesting race. Race 8's not a bad race. 60s Groove, obviously going to have a lot of fans. He's hitting his straps a bit late for my liking, having been on him early this prep. He'll have a few horses there that are in form and that could probably be back to knock him off. And then you've got Sydney. Well, I guess probably one of the higher rated two-year-olds from last season. Didn't win a race. We're still in this season, obviously. Earlier in the season was Plague Stone from the Godolphin camp. He didn't win a race, but he was beaten not by far in the Blue Diamond Prelude, finished second, and he went on to a contest of Blue Diamond. So he creates a bit of buzz returning in the Rosebud Prelude there at Randwick.
All right, well, we'll start at Flemington, and as you mentioned, the two-year-old's getting up to 1,800 metres, which rarely occurs in the Byerley Handicap. Do they get a free pass on the Victoria Derby if they win this?
They do.
So that adds a little bit of interest. What did you make of this race?
Yeah, it's an interesting thing that, I mean, you if you're going well enough in the spring, you're going to make the Derby field, aren't you?
Well, yeah, you'd really think that if you, even if they didn't have the, even if they didn't have the free pass, if you've won a $120,000 Saturday race a few months earlier, you're getting the Derby anyway.
You're getting the Derby, yeah, so it's probably not that bigger incentive, but yeah, interesting race. Look, I found it a difficult program, and hence I've made my best bet in this race because he's a horse that I've backed at both. Sorry, she's a horse I've backed at both her starts, and she's a filly, so Derby exemption probably doesn't mean much for her. But number six, So You Swing, daughter of So You Think, she's quickly to 1800, but a lot of these are. She run really well on debut at Geelong. She trialled well leading into that, and she came from last and let down with a good finish. Went to Sandown, was sort of hemmed away on the inside, and then liked her last 100 metres. When she got clear and really began to sort of let down, she found the line strongly. I think she'll get 1,800 pretty comfortably. It's a race you can make a few chances, but I've made her my best of the day. But I certainly respect number three, Lift, by Reliable Man. Just really attacked the line at Ballarat on debut. Number two, Viseo, was impressive winning his maiden. Didn't beat much at Mildura, but the way he did it suggests he's got a bit of talent. And number eight, She's Sensational, was opened up good odds. That was a big win on the Pakenham Synthetic last start. Again, a rising class. So look, many of these you can make a small case for because many of them can probably go through the roof getting up in distance. But I was happy to back So You Swing.
Yeah, I've got them the other way around and made Lift my best, just green on debut, and certainly finished off while the 1,800 metres would suit. Lift to beat So You Sling, and then So You Swing, I should say, and then for third, Ink Slinger, number four. And fun fact, how could I not put in fun fact? For fourth, and well, we've knocked off our best of the day, so I guess we now just need our value bet.
Yeah, well, I made my value in the first Super Hussy, race one, number 11. She's the half-sister to Super Cash, gets the blinkers on, first time. She showed a bit of ability last prep. She got out to 1,500, ran a nice fourth at Mini Valley behind Truly Discreet. I thought she was okay first up. It was a bit of a race to forgive. Miss Leonidas was blitzing her rivals up in front, and Super Hussy was well back. They took her to Adelaide last start. She was held up early in the straight. Just the race sort of passed her by. She hit the line okay. Definitely looking for further. Blinkers, no weight, can make a small case for her at a bit of a price. And that was about it. Tough race four, but I'm really interested to see the return of Jackson. He's a horse that's had stacks of ability, but terrible injuries coming back from, and Tony McAvoy is just hoping that he can hold up to racing. All is good at the moment through track work and jump outs, but he's a horse with plenty of talent. It'd be interesting to see how he goes. I'd suggest he'd be pretty wound up because they wouldn't want to be wasting any runs with him. He's returning from a pretty nasty leg injury. And that's about it, really. As I mentioned, 60s Groove. I've tipped him on top, but that's an interesting race eight. You've got Jamair from the Hayes Dabney Guard, won at big odds at his Australian debut, but created an impression in his first up. Then you've got Pacadali, who beat 60s Groove at Caulfield. So nice race, that race. But yeah, a bit of a quiet meeting. So You Swing, Super Hussy, probably my two main bets.
Yeah, well, my value bet, my value bet in best bets in typical John Barker fashion was Eduardo, because I just thought that, you know, surely it's got to be $6 the field that
That's
race.
What I thought, yeah, exactly.
You know, you don't know, but $3.30, I mean, I guess Barrier 23 is seen to be a positive, and certainly impressive enough, but you don't even get the premium for the little known trainer.
No.
Yeah, so very surprising to see Eduardo come at 3:30. So that being the case, I went for Morton's Fork in that other good race that you were talking about, just class galloper, Group 2 winner, and is a bit of value, I think. I mean, as you say, you can make a case for a number of these, but Morton's Fork does have a bit of class about him, and after $13, I thought was worth something each way. As you mentioned, Randwick is the venue for Sydney racing on Saturday, and we have the July sprint, I guess, is the nominal feature, although every race is $100,000 apart from the $60,000 highway. But as you mentioned, the Roseblood Prelude, with these this golden rose, we've now got a prelude to the prelude to the prelude to the prelude of the golden rose. So we're going to start this series is going to start in April shortly. There'll be a bloody a Rosebud prelude. It'll be the seed. They'll call it the seed, and they'll run it at the championships.
Well, you've given them a good idea there.
But it is, yeah, interesting race. So tell us about the Rosebud Prelude and then get into your best and value bets for the day.
Yeah, well, look, I was keen to have a bet in the opening race, but my roughie, I've just noticed, has come out, number 12, Alanara, and she was the filly that opened at about 60 or 70 to 1 that I was happy to pair up with Plague Stone in multiples, but she's out now, so it's probably just a watch race for me, and obviously all focus on Plague Stone. He's even money, he's had the wraps, he's yet to win in four starts, trialled well, as he always does. Hugh Bowman, I guess you'll lose a few fans if he doesn't win on Saturday. Witherspoon might give him a bit to catch. She was really good at Newcastle. She needed to be. She was dropping back to a maiden, first time out of stakes class, and she smashed her rivals, had a ton of early speed. So could be interesting if she gets running. And then Plague Stone never raced below 1,100. So interesting race to kick us off. My best and my value sort of ran the wrong way in terms of their prices, but I liked Del Cello. He's my best, and he's opened up at $17, race 7, number 4, in the July sprint. It's been a while since he's won, 531 days, but he's only raced 7 times in that period. He had almost 12 months off. He's been going well this prep. I like the form line through his run at Randwick over 1,100, 3 starts back. He finished 3rd behind Dreamforce, and I Thought So. Dreamforce has won since. I Thought So has won since. He gets a weight swing on I Thought So. And I think getting away from heavy tracks, he's passed to have been on heavy. He hasn't run badly, but he's better on a firmer track. So really happy with the price for him. And my value bet, who, as I said, isn't much value. I think she's opened up favourite. We'll be hoping, I think the 5 or 550 can be pushed out a point or two. I speak of Aurea, race 5, number 15. She's an honest filly, racing well. She'll put herself on speed. I think coming back from 1,400 to 1,200, it's probably a positive. And she gets a nice little weight drop down to the 54.5. So they were the two I was most keen on. The last race creates a bit of interest. Kaonic, I was his biggest fan through the autumn. He was a little bit disappointing. And Invictus Prince, I'm a huge rap for, but he's going to get a long way back. And only up 100 metres, he might still be one run away. But I might certainly look at the exotics through those two runners.
Okay, racing on the Parks track at Morphville in Adelaide on Saturday. And this is one of the three city meetings where there is a listed race. This is the mypunter.com Oakland's Plate, 1400 metres for two-year-olds. As I've written in Best Bets this week, one of the last chances to pick up some two-year-old black type, and there's been 65 two-year-old black type races this season, and Lindsay Park have won 11 of them. Chance for 12 here. They've got the favourite in this as well, poised to strike. There is nothing to be said in the way of fun facts for the Oaklands Plate, because for a period of about 8 years until last year, it was run in May at the main carnival, or at the carnival, over 1600, as a sort of as a race for the SA size runners to go through to, but it didn't, it wasn't really a great success. They only got each way betting once, and they had an average of seven runners. Had 14 last year when they made it 1400 in July, and they got 11 this year. The winners of this race haven't tended to go on and do much. There hasn't been, there's only been one who's even subsequently won a race in the last 6 years. The last year's winner was Terry. Went to Hong Kong, raced as under a different name, which was Dream Trust, maybe, and unplaced from three starts. So let's hope that the winner of this can go on to bigger and better things. You haven't looked at this meeting, Joel, but Richo likes Unfair Dismissal, number one.
Yeah, no, nothing sort of jumps out at me. Tony McAvoy has three runners. He's had a really good year with his two-year-olds, and I see, just looking up the results as we speak, that Sunlight won her trial this morning by 4.5, and Lake District Girl won a trial by 3, so two of his big guns have come back in good order, and well, he's probably got a good hand here, three runners. First Diamonds won two in a row, Unfair Dismissal racing well, and Crockett maybe the pick with Jay Carter right, so I'd expect probably McAvoy to maybe get the win.
All right, well, Richo's best at Morfordville Parks is race two, number two, Sabotag, but that horse is up against Embassy Lil, which is one of Jordan's gems. And Jordan's other gem on an each-way basis was race seven, number seven, Bolt I Am Doomben. Joel, Tattersall's Racing Club card. Big fields, as usual, nine-race program, although as Winning Post went to press, there were 11 scratchings, and then about 10 minutes later, it was up to 15. So a few casualties already. There is a listed race, as I mentioned. It is race nine, Sky Racing Tattersall's Mile. This Tattersall's Racing Club in Queensland has, it's got a group one, obviously, the Tats Tiara. It's got, I think it's got one group three. It's got six listed races, and four of them are open handicaps over 1600. A bit hard to distinguish them at times. What did you like here, John?
Yeah, you do see the Tat Smile seem to pop up every so often. I went for number nine, No Animosity. I was really keen on him a couple of weeks ago. He opened around $4. They backed him into odds on, and he won like a good thing. This is a tougher test. He has won over a mile, but not in this class. But he gets his chance. He's in really good form, hard fit now. And I think he can measure up. Number one, Religify, just rarely runs poorly. So you'd expect him to bounce back. He was very disappointing in the eyeliner. He gives away a fair bit of weight, but he deserves that weight. Can't Buy Better, I had in for third. And number five, She Is What She Is. She'll go forward if she gets a decent lead and maybe a track pattern to suit. She'll take some running down.
And your best in value at Doomben?
Italia Bella, my best. I think they've been saving her for a dry track. She was in last week. They scratched her. Just wasn't suited in the glass house last time out. That was too tough a task, but she's a very talented filly when right. And you're getting good odds because number two, Scalapini's opened up pretty short, and yes, he's a promising three-year-old himself. One of the two should win, but I'm happy with the $10, Italia Bella. And very happy with the $34 for my value bet for race five, number seven, Zendai. Really good 1,200-meter record. So the first up run at 1,000, when only beaten 1.8 lengths, certainly had merit. Forget the run at Rockhampton. That was a really chopped up track. A lot of horses didn't quite get through it. He can improve at big odds. And a roughie there to consider, maybe in race two, number four, Trusty Lad. Hit the line nicely on debut at Toowoomba. He's opened up at around 71. Maybe a small play on him.
All right, and Belmont is the other venue that has a black type race. It is the Chigarello's Belmont Classic, 2200 for three-year-olds, and it's no great surprise that they've only got eight runners, and according to BJ Ryan, only two chances. Number one, Come Play With Me. Number two, State Prosecutor. They clashed in the Aquanetal Stakes last start. Come Play With Me won reasonably convincingly, and BJ thinks that for that reason, the market might just overreact to that and have Come Play With Me too short. State Prosecutor not quite so short, so BJ is with State Prosecutor, who, mind you, is still only $2.50 in the early markets. BJ's Best, race 3, number 1, Floyd. Top effort off a 12-week let-up last time. Flew late and finished up second a half length from Ambiente, who is going well. BJ's value bet, Saturia, that is a race 1, number 4, is first up, has had a good trial. Coming up against Misty Metal, looking for 5 wins in a row. BJ just feels that gate six of eight might be a problem for Misty Metal and bring that winning streak to an end. And Saturia, number 4, could be the one to cash in. Earlier in the day, they are racing at Pukekura, which is AKA New Plymouth.
Yep.
And Tarapa in Hamilton.
Pukekura, my best, is a Bully Boy. Race 7, number 7. A nice debut effort. Bit green there. Been sent back to the trials, had the winkers applied, and that seemed to work pretty well. He won his trial. He's a maiden taking on some horses that have won races. I guess that's the query, but he's in really good hands, and he looks to be certainly showing a fair bit of promise. So he's my best. Bully Boy, my value is So It Was. Race 2, number 11. 2 runs back from a let-up have been good. Nice improvement last start. Out to 1,800, a definite plus. Tarapa, my best bet, and one that I'll certainly be having something on, and I think we might get a good price. Race 4, number 12, Lily Thunder. Trialled well before the debut. Had the bit pull through her mouth. She ran off the track and was pulled up, so you can forget the duck egg. She trialled really well since. And just from a little stable, you might get a bit of overs there. And race 2, number 6, Drake Bay, I've made my value. First starter by Redwood. Has trialled up well. I think 1,400 is perfect. It's a pretty winnable maiden too. There's not a lot of exposed form in the race.
Okay, that wraps up a not-so-massive Saturday of racing around Australasia. Sunday, the highlight, and possibly the highlight of the weekend, is Bendigo's jumps, Super Jumps Day. I think we got 7 jumps races and the... 6 jumps races and 3 high-weight flat races. So it's jumps, jockeys throughout the 9-race card. And the highlight, I guess... Well, I'm certain, Joel, is going to be the E-Cycle Solutions Moss Trooper Steeplechase, which sees C King, the mighty Kiwi, come up against Wells. So Wells, last year's winner and the winner of so many feature steeplechases, and C King, who's won this twice. And last year, what was it? He hadn't trialled in Victoria, so he had to run in the hurdle instead. Yep. Won that. So this certainly is his day, C King. Got them marked as equal $2.80 favourites. Which do you think will emerge victorious there?
Geez, Wells was super the other day at Flemington on the flat. He just attacked the line. He's still racing with that great zest. And I think, you know, whilst he's been targeted at the National as probably his number one goal, I think he's going for 4 of them. I think he can win on Sunday.
And the Drexler hurdle, we've got, as far as the market goes, we've got a bit of a lad for Darren Weir. Kotu Rotti, the... up-and-comer, and for John McArdle, and 2 hats for Aaron Purcell seem to be the main 3, as well as Mystic Prince for the prolific Eric Musgrove.
Yeah, Kotu Rotti and 2 hats, I'd say, are probably the main 2. Kotu Rotti looks a bit of a star over the jumps, and he's performed okay on the flat last start to keep his fitness up, so I'd probably lean his way.
All right, well, that wraps it up, and leaves us only to remind you to pick up your winning post if you haven't already. We've got all the form for Friday, Saturday and Sunday. The other highlight on Sunday being Narendra Cup Day. Big fields there. massive fields at Moe on Saturday. 174 acceptors, if you don't mind. A bit less of that if it's at all possible, please. Racing Victoria and owners and trainers does make it very hard to fit in, but certainly results in a lot of value for the punters and the owners. Finally, our best 20... Oh, sorry, I should say one more thing, and that is that the calendar, we've got it back in our hot little hands. All the months are in the right order, which is always a relief. And it is out next week, so no excuses. We're actually cutting the phone off.
I said on the podcast last week, we're not taking any calls. There'll be no calendars sent out. You've just got to get out and get it.
Yeah, get out and get it next week. We are cutting the phone off on Friday, and we're not putting it back on until Christmas. best $20 bet for the weekend. What about you, John?
Yeah, well, I couldn't find sort of anything that I'm labelling a certainty, but I like Del Cielo, race 7, number 4, and you can certainly back him each way at $16 or $17. I think he will run top three, and with a bit of luck, he can win.
Well, I'm always hesitant to go up against your best, so I will not go with Lift. I will go, I'll save the best for last. Race 9, number 8, on a hat-trick, Nordic Empire. Thanks for listening, everybody. Have a great weekend. Back plenty of winners, and we'll talk to you next week on the Preview Podcast.